from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday evening, August the 30th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on It's All About Jesus.
I want to mention two things. And the first is, if you're not on my email list, I send out Monday through Friday, Bread from His Table. I'd love to have your name. And I'll put it on there. If you don't like it, you can opt out. And I'm sorry, I have more preachers opt out than anybody. And that's the Assembly of God preachers, which I am. And, well, I belong to that, but anyway.
You've been set free.
Praise God. And then back there on that table in the middle, there's some CDs of music that's recorded in our church there for you. And you're welcome to those. Praise God. Lord, we ask your help tonight. Praise God, Lord. Just shut us in with you, Lord. Praise God. Shut the world out. Shut us in with you. We ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit come down from heaven tonight. And touch every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you guys all about Jesus. All about Jesus. You know, when John the Baptist saw him coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." But his name is the most hated name on this earth. The most despised, hated name on this earth. But all things were created by Him and for Him. By Him and for Him. In fact, Revelation 4:11, He says we were created for His pleasure. And so we want to talk about tonight, it's all about Jesus. It's not about you and me. It's not about ministries. It's not about, don't take this wrong, but it's not about our families. It's not about our bills. It's not about our health. It's not about our friends, our relationships. It's all about Jesus. And when this world is long gone, it'll still be all about Jesus. He is to be preeminent in our lives and everything. You know, 1 John, John said that Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence. And that's true in so many areas now. I was preaching in a church in Fort Worth one time, and I don't do much of that in our church, the special music and all that, whatever that's supposed to be. But the pastor, he was just, so-and-so, you get a song, so-and-so, yes, it's a pretty good-sized church, you know, and you get a song, and he asked one lady, oh, she shook her head. He said, oh, please get a song. Oh, please get a song. And this, everybody turned, oh, please get a song. And when they were about to give up, you know, she realized that, she said, okay, I'll have a song. And it was all about her. It was all about her. And so she got up and did her production. Oh, praise God. Well, it's all about Jesus. And nothing and no one else is worth knowing. It's all about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Apostle Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In fact, be so careful in everything we do, ministry or in our personal lives, that we don't get out there away from that. He's the center of everything. See, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all things, all He said, be added unto you. But it's not just seeking the first 5 minutes of the day and then going your way. But it's always Him first. It's all about Jesus. And I tell you, if our life doesn't line up with that principle, then we're not worth, our life's not worth living. It's all about Jesus. Our ministry must be all about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. our only attraction must be Christ. I heard a preacher talk that went to a meeting, and it was a dedication of a new church, and drove up, and the high school drill team was out there in their little, you know, and they were doing their thing and kicking their legs up and all that stuff, and got inside, and the pastor said, whatever it takes to get a crowd. No, it's all about Jesus. He must be our only attraction. Heard another prominent pastor say many years ago, when the church attracts them with anything but Christ, it's awful difficult to wean them off of that onto Christ. To wean them off of hamburgers or friend day or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, when the church has to use all those gimmicks to get people coming, gimmicks. And let me say something. Now, don't sit there pious. Now, we don't do that. But even in every church, I get amazed. Some people, we're not a denomination. I'm going to tell you something. Every church is a denomination in itself.
That's right. That's
right. So I don't want to hear that, you know. They all are. Everybody is.
That's right.
And some pride themselves in it, in that. And then there's those that won't go to a church, you know. They don't believe in an organized church. And for the most part, I believe those people just don't want to be in subjection to anyone. They want to, you know, do their own thing. And some of them don't want to put their money anywhere. I mean, you know, it's convenient. But, I'll keep my money and I'll be my own church, whatever. So we just leave that. But our only attraction must be Christ. And it's a deceptive thing to trick people into your building or whatever you have, your home. Trick them in with other things and then spring Christ on them. You can make them mad, you know, and angry. You do that. Our only attraction must be Christ. Now, we must not use Christ. We must not use the Lord to gain what we want. To gain what we want. Luke 12:13, and one of the company said to him, to Jesus, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? See, the Lord was teaching, and this man interrupts him with this stupid thing here. His selfishness, he interrupts him. And you watch this. People, even in the church, I don't care how good it is, how wonderful, how whatever, there's always going to be some come in there and try to distract. Remember the damsel fallen, the apostle Paul around, these are the men of the Most High God, hear them. What was that all about? Well, she was saying the right things, but she's diverting attention to herself. But it's all about Christ. And so here he is blurting this out, and Jesus said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness. Or did he cut him down? He told what he was all about, covetousness. And for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses, a man's life. Well, what should our life consist of? Christ. It's all about him. It's all about him. He's not our genie in the lamp. Rub the lamp with prayer, whatever, faith, whatever you're going to do. He pops out and you tell him what you want. You know, he's not our spare tire. When you get in an emergency, you don't even know it's there until you need him. He is so merciful. You know, one time I was hauling a lot of lumber. We had a camp in place for a number of years, a youth camp, kids camp. And I had that thing loaded down, the truck and the trailer, and I had a blowout. And you know where the spare tire was, underneath all of that. Well, that's wonderful. We dug it all out, got it, and guess what? It was flat. Because you don't pay attention, you know, to the spare tire. And he's not our spare tire. He's not our insurance policy. This attitude, you know, this is really a good one. My wife and I are at the age, you may not believe in this, but we're getting a barrel policy, you know. Well, some of you don't believe in that, but that's all right. Don't make your kids pay for your funeral.
That's right. Amen.
And so we're doing that, and because it's not fair to do that. My mother took care of hers, and my dad, you know, and that was a relief. But, and don't go crazy when you go in there.
Yeah.
They'll start you out at the big, you know, solid wood, whatever. you know, make you feel like you don't love mama if you don't buy that one. Praise God. He's not your co-pilot. He is not your co-pilot. That's so stupid. Just think of co-pilot, meaning you're equal with him or something. He's not your partner. He is not your partner. If you've been saying these things, just don't act like you haven't been saying anything else. He's not your partner. He's not your business partner. It's all about him. It's all about him. Now, he's the only source of life. It's all about Jesus. John 17:3, and this is life. This is the Lord's high priestly prayer. And this is life eternal. Whatever we think it is, what is it? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He is all about him. Life eternal is all about him. And I appreciate, I've heard more than once, you know, in this meeting, that, when I get there, I'm going to see Grandma and whoever, whatever. But eternal life is all about him. And you know what? If you don't like him, you're not going to like eternal life. If you have no time for him, and he means nothing to you, you'll be very uncomfortable in heaven. Of course, you won't be there, but anyway, if you got him, you'd be very uncomfortable. And if praising him bores you, you're going to be bored. All the things people think they're going to get away with and do there. John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. He's the only source of life. John 3:36. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. There's a lot of people in this world, the wrath of God's abiding on them, especially those that hate him. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, for outside of him we cannot have eternal life, for he is life eternal. Now, it's all about Jesus. We must be shut in with him. Shut in with him. Is your life too crowded, too busy, too much going on, too much noise, distractions? We have to be shut in with Christ. I tell you, you can walk through the day and be shut in with him. And it'll help if you pray in tongues. You build yourself up on your most holy faith. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. What's that saying? Shut in to Christ. Shut in with him. That's what it said. The world's crucified to me. And I'm crucified to the world. I'm shut in with Christ. Would that define your life? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Alright, it's good that we are to come out from among them and be separate, touch not the unclean thing, but what do we come out to? Something of our own making, you know, our family, our whatever. No, we come out from among them to Christ. Set apart to Christ. Separated to Christ. Shut in with Christ. It's all about Christ. Therefore, we must be crucified to all that is not Christ. Now, Christ is the prize. It's all about Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, 99.9% of the church could not say that truthfully. You know they couldn't. They could not honestly say that. Let me read it again. See if you agree. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The catcher there is all things. Count all things loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now the word suffer in the King James does have more than one meaning. One is permit. I permitted the loss of all things. I think God's not going to make us do anything. He's not going to make you. He may wish, make you wish you had him, but he's not going to make you serve him. And I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Anybody here not know what dung is? I count it as dung. Yet most of you in the churches is worshiping. You know, I drove through this fair city today, early this morning. I had to go do something. And it's been years since I've been through there, and I drove through there. And I'll tell you about what I see from this place, this town. Horse racing, clubs, entertainment. All that's what it's about. And, that lake there, you know, it's all about entertainment. It's about money. It's not about Christ, certainly. And be found in him, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, and be found in him not have, hey, it's the same way where I live. It's the same way where I live. They're turning our square into New Orleans and Bourbon Street. Literally. They are. And they're working hard at it. And, It's a play place now. Play sin place. And be found in him, not have my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. And I did not say faith in Christ, but faith of Christ. I talked to you about that. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Is that the desire of your heart? It's all about him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do we know anything about the power of his resurrection? And the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, we work so hard not to suffer. We do. I mean, we'll find scriptures. We'll do this, whatever, to keep from suffering. I want to say this. Kenneth Copeland said that if Paul had the faith he did, he wouldn't have suffered. He wouldn't have had to suffer like that. Well, I think that's just an amazing statement. And I'm sorry if you're his follower, maybe that's just one blip there, you know. I've had some. No. It's not wrong to suffer. And look, Paul prayed three times that the Lord would take away the thorn in his flesh. And you need to understand, you have to have the mind of Christ to know where is this coming from, what it's about, and what do I need to do about it, because not everything is going to be taken away. No matter what we do. No matter how much we repent, what we promises we stand on, whatever. Got quiet. Being made conformable to his death. You like that one? Oh, Lord, make me conformable to your death. You prayed that lately? Well, I haven't either. But I need to. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. See, that's all tied to attaining to the resurrection of the dead. All I have to do is believe on him. Confessing. No, we need to read this. I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. See, he said, I haven't got there yet. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Either we're already perfect. I'm not perfect yet. And this man had to say that. What do we need to say? But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers, I count not myself to apprehend it. I know I haven't. I don't reckon myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. We need to narrow it down to this one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. Now, that's important, but that's not the important thing in this passage of Scripture. Forgetting, you know, and reaching forward. Here it is. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. He is the prize. He is the prize. Do you believe that tonight? If we don't believe he's the prize, we're all face. He's the prize. The prize is not what we get out of Christ, but Christ is the prize. Now Christ must be our life. It's all about him. Colossians 3:4, when Christ who is our life. Could we say that tonight? Can you say he's your life? No, he's my genie in the lamp. You know, he's my this, he's my that. But he is those things. But that's a result of us seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. But what does that mean? Let's look at what does it not mean. It means that if he's not your life, you're not going to appear with him in glory. I've told this, and I was pallbearer for a very prominent pastor in our area, and official in the Assembly of God. He's a wonderful man. His wife passed away. And Paul Bears go by and shake the people's hand. And I shake the hand, he told me, he said, she was my wife. And I thought to myself, you couldn't say it right there, you know, it wasn't time to. I said, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say she was your wife. If your wife is your wife, watch out. If your husband or your children or your people make gods out of their children, or their husband or their wife, or their car, or their house, or their whatever, their job. When Christ, is your job your life? You know, there's some couples, when the kids are all gone, they end up getting a divorce because it was all about the kids. They didn't know each other. It was all about the kids. And I don't get off on that, but when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on, our eyes have handled, the word of life, our life-giving word. He is the life-giving word. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We know it was by the will. Remember there in Acts when they were praying and fasting, ministering to the Lord spoke, said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I have done. So he did say that. By the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Are you living, or is he living? Is it you living, or is it him living through you? Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. Oh, praise God. Lord, this shuts in with you tonight. Praise God. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. This is only two people, kinds of people on the earth, right? Only two. Those that have the Son, they have life. Those that don't, they don't have life. They just walk around dead. This is what the Lord has shown me. They're animals. They are animals. They're animals. They live by instinct. They do. They just live by instinct. They act like animals. I can't say some things here, but you know, they do. They're children here, but they just act like animals. Praise God. Now, he is the only way to the Father, because it's all about him. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm sorry, Muslims. Well, I'm not. I'm glad. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Sorry, Catholics. He's the only Savior of mankind, because it's all about him, about Christ. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin to salvation. See, we get so busy living our life, we're not even looking for him. Really, let me ask you, have you looked for him today? Have you looked for him today? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's all about him. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. It's all about him. 1 John 3:5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's the only Savior of mankind. It's all about him. He's our healer. It's all about him, about Christ. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Before I read this, one time I was down at my parents, and there's a little Baptist church down the road from there. It's almost gone. There's just a few people hanging on. But there's a crowd there, and they have a meeting before the service. And so, help me now. They don't understand. You know what? They really don't understand. Because they're rejecting the fullness of the Spirit. And that's the only way you can understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word, and only the Holy Spirit can reveal the meaning of the Word. But they reject the Word, the Holy Spirit. And so the leader was, he'd read a verse and say, anybody want to comment on that? In other words, does anybody understand what this is saying? They read this, and I was being real good and keeping quiet. Don't want to cause any problems. Well, they read this. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Well, I thought, well, I don't know. I'm probably on safe ground there, so I raised my hand. And so I told him, I said, well, the Lord did two things for us there in his suffering, his death. He purchased our salvation and our healing. And when I said healing, oh my, it broke loose in there. They had the most excitement they had. Well, I know I have to take something in a minute. But this woman stood up angry. Oh, she was angry. And she just refuted what I said. He does not heal. That's over with. And she just let me have it. And I slide down and said, I see there, I shouldn't have said anything. And I went to get a drink at the water fountain, and one of my cousins come and said, look, we don't all believe that. And I'll tell you what the other thing was. They had their business meeting. The Baptist church in our community, I guess they still do, they have their monthly business meeting. And man, they go rolling. And they'll tell you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's all political, you know. And so, it's interesting. You already got one. It's exciting. And if that church is the young against the old. And the young wanted this, the old didn't want it. And basically the old ones, let it be known that it'd be their way or they'd leave. So the young ones backed off. You know, I thought, ooh, this is tense in here. Praise God. But anyway. So praise God. I don't want to be part of something like that. Well, if God sent you there, I guess you'd have to. I have to back up on too many things I say. God wants to. Now, he's our healer, and you know what? God wants a healthy wife for his son. And I believe in health. And I believe, I've heard this, and I appreciate what we've heard this week. It's better to believe for health and stay healthy than to get sick and then have to fight your way out of that. Isn't it? Well, believe for health. Why not, praise God? Believe for it. Believe your old car is going to keep running. You know, I bought one and it started doing this and doing that, and I start getting, fearful. And I had someone that was helping me with that. Said, Brother Vincent, God gave you this car, and I don't accept that. So I believed God, and it kept running until somebody told it that I loaned it to. But praise God, it did. It ran. Hallelujah, I can't go over there. We're completing Christ. It's all about him. We're completing Christ. Colossians 2:10. And you are completing him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, that could be a sermon all by itself. And I have preached that. I mean, that's the theme of the sermon. We're completing him. I don't know what you think you're completing. If I just had this, if I just had that, if I just this, if that would happen, if this could be, no, we're completing him. Why are you worrying about all that stuff? You're not completing it anyway. And the junk we worry about today, most of it's not even going to happen. And two days or 2 weeks from now we're going to forget about it? We're not complete in that. You don't have to have everything perfect and going your way. Why would we want to pay attention to all that? We're complete in Him. Do you believe that? We're complete in Him. That's where to go. That's the focus. We're complete in Him. Stay in Him. Shut up in Him. Shut up into Christ. You're okay. Praise God. Doesn't matter what's swirling around you. The storms, whatever comes or goes. Governments, whatever. We're complete in Christ.
Amen.
As long as I'm in Him, I'm complete. I don't need it. You know, that was the whole thing in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent basically told Eve, you're not complete. He's withholding something from you. You just eat this and you'll be complete. The lies of the devil. And how many of us have believed those lies? He'll repackage it, restate it different ways. If I just had that. If I just looked like that. If I could just lose this weight. If I could just gain this weight. If I could just, my hair was a different color. If I just had hair. I got very offended this afternoon. You know what about. He's here. I had to. Had to get over it. Praise God. It's okay. I am what I am. Praise God. Gave up. I used to, when I still had a little more hair, I'd comb it over like that. You don't know what. Hey, women, now wait a minute. And finally, got you know, when the wind blows, yeah, you really. And there's this little girl in our school, and you know, kids are all so brutally honest. And she talked about my hair all the time. Hallelujah. Well, I finally gave up on that. Just be what you are. Here I am. Praise God. I'm complete in Christ, not in my hair. Well, glory to God, now I'm going to lose my place here. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And by the way, those are the important things. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. It's all about Him. It's not about you and it's not about me. Oh, my feelings are hurt. Well, it's not about you. Get off of it. Let go of it. It's not about you. Praise God. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. It doesn't consist of me or by me. It's by Him. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Not that Diophagus. He's the image of God. It's all about Christ. Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you? See, they said, show us the Father, it suffices us. He said, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how say you then, show us the Father? It's all about Him. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, we're complete in Christ. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now, I need to stop there. You know what we're to become? What we're to become? The same thing. The express image of His person. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, oh my, we preach not ourselves. You know, they might not just say that, But that's what it's all about. Look how smart I am. Look what I know. You know, all that thing. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, I heard them get up and say, well, I'm just going to hide behind Christ while I'm preaching. Well, it's all about them. Look how humble I am. Look how... Come on, folks, we can see through that. Can't we? I'm just hiding behind him. And I've even seen some of them, and sorry if this sounds bad, but they just, and they'll be preaching down on their knee, make with their head down on them. Oh, how humble. Bless him, Jesus. So humble. It is not. It's pride. And it's all made to impress. And ourselves, your service for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. I'm hard, aren't I? There's so much junk going on. And if, praise God, you know what you need to do when you're seeing that? Just sit there and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Just take authority over that. For God, who commanded the light to shine out, well, I'm afraid I would be wrong. No, you're not wrong. Praise God. God needs somebody to do that. For God who commanded the... He said he won't share his glory with anyone. Commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. For we have this treasure, Christ, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, we are to come into his image. I mentioned that. It's all about him. We've come into his image. Why are we trying to... what's this, our self-image? You know, we got to improve our self-image. No, it's not about our... we're to come into his image. If you go after his image and pray and seek and ask God, you know, for that, you know, the world says know yourself, discover yourself. Why? Why? There's no good thing dwells in this flesh. What are you going to, if you know yourself, it's nasty, it's vulgar, it's corrupt. It is. And, you know, he came to give us a way out of all that. The only worth we'll ever have is him. You know, the value of anything is determined by what's paid for. And he bought us. And he's the only thing, person that gives us value. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know that? Ephesians 4:19. My little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. How's that working? How are you coming on that, Christ being formed in you? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face beholding as in the glass or mirror the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, you just didn't become a better you. You don't become a better you. You become what he is. You understand that? And all this teaching today, and self-improvement, and what is it he does? Motivational speaking, you know. It makes people happy. They like it. The flesh eats it up. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that is so misused. When bad things happen, or what we think is bad things happen to us, there's no such thing as if we're in Christ. You know that? No such thing as a bad thing happening. Because all things work together for good, so how can we say they're bad? Now, love him, call according to his purpose. And the Lord showed me this a long time ago. Okay, my old car and motor blew up, so praise God, it's going to work for my good. I'm going to get a brand new car or a better car. No, you might be walking. It's not. It's all about him. And here it is, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All things work together for good. What good? That we could be conformed to the image of his son. What's happening in our lives, if we'll let it, if we'll embrace it, will conform us to the image of his son. That's the good. I lost my job. Oh, God's going to give me a better job. No, you might not have a job for a while.
whatever. God, people pray, oh, Lord, whatever it takes. And then when he starts doing it, oh, God, please stop it, And people will pray for someone, pray for God, whatever it takes to save him. And then when he loses his job and this and that, goes, oh, God, I didn't mean that. Praise God. It's all about him and us becoming like him. Christ being formed in us, change the same image. Romans 13:14. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's all about him. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. How are we doing on that? To the perfect man. Not self-help classes and recovery and 12-step programs and you can be a better you and a better husband and a better... I'll tell you what, if the man will get right with God and Christ be forming, he'll be a better husband.
Amen.
He will be. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're coming the fullness of Christ, the measure of his stature. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's all about him. We're to grow up into him, not ourselves. Not a better us. Now, his name is above all names. It's all about Christ. I told you he's the most hated name on earth. He is. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Why? Because it's all about him. Of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You say, well, is it about God or is it all about God or all about his Son? Well, if it's all, when it's all about his Son, then it's to the glory of the Father. You understand that? The Holy Spirit, see, it's all about Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus said in John 16, he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. Why? Because it's all about Christ. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Praise God. Now, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I realize that, that every knee will bow to his name. Everything's going to come in subjection to his name. And I know that can include sickness and poverty and, whatever we want, problems we're having. That's true, but that's a side benefit, folks. It's not all about that. It's about him. It's about him. It's not about us. Praise God. And has put all things under his feet. Someone is saying, and I'm sorry I don't remember who, but was, you come to a point and you're praying about something or someone and you say, Lord, whatever will bring you the most glory. Whatever bring you glory. Why? Because it's all about him. If we can come to that place, we're making progress now. It's all about his glory. And it's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, it's all about Jesus. He's our soon coming king. John 14:3. If I go and prepare a place for you, this is Jesus speaking, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But it's all about him. Now just hold on to that. Acts 1:11, which also said the angel, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:14, and this is usually my favorite one when we get to the graveside, when I'm doing a funeral. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I don't interpret that as saying that's all it takes to be saved. That's not what it's saying. To those that believe that, he's saying, this is what you need to know, the information you need. It starts talking about those that are asleep in Christ, in Jesus, who God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder or go ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I was pastoring the first church I pastored about 27 or 28 years old, and I believe this might have been the first dream I ever had like this, but I dreamed this. I dreamed that we were at a camp, and they were trying to get people together to play softball, baseball, down this hill. And so people were just going down there, everybody's going down there, but there was this knowledge or understanding that the Lord was about to come. And so I was trying to get people, no, let's go into church. Let's go into the church and worship the Lord. But no, they're going to go play sports. And so we went into, I got in there to my, there's a lot of people in there. Not everybody went down the hill to play ball. And we got in there, we were just worshiping the Lord. And then all of a sudden, this, right here, this happened. All of a sudden, praise God, there was that shout, there was a voice of the archangel, there was a trump of God, and we began to rise up. And we were in white robes, began to rise up. And that church was, had arches, you know, where laminated arches go way up, and it was real high. We were going up. About the time we got to the top, I woke up. Well, I always heard that the dream is of God. It has to be, you know, in Scripture. So I went and got my Bible to see if that was all in order. The trunk, the voice, you know, was all in order. It was. Praise God. But, and after that, every time I got in a church that looked like that, you know, I said, oh, this is it. This is it. But it had a lot of meaning to it. Praise God. He is coming. It's all about him. He's coming. It's not all about us coming. He's returning. I'll get to that in a minute. But he is coming. And please, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but don't think, oh, it's all for me. It's all for me. No, hold on. Praise God. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together to him. Now, I realize it. The church is going to go through some things. But wait, it's always going through some things. It's always, and it is now. We are, can you say, fortunate in that respect. Folks, they're cutting people's heads off. They're dying or they're going through it. It may come here. I'm very serious about that. It may come here. I know something's coming. I know it's coming. And, The thing, and he said, lift up your head when these things begin to happen, because your redemption draws nigh. Whether that's your redemption because it cuts your head off or you're going into the rapture before you die, I don't know. I don't know that. And neither do you. But I know he said, watch and be ready. That day doesn't come upon us unawares. Watch and be ready. And we, have you been watching today for his coming? Because he is coming. And no man knows the day nor the hour. And whether, let me tell you this, and I want to say this right. Whether you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you don't know the day or the hour, and neither do I. He's coming, and Jesus said, no man knows that. It's all in the Father. The Father's the only one knows that. All I know is I better be ready, and you better be ready. And whether we, sometimes you could almost, my parents both that don't want to be with the Lord, you could almost get jealous of them. Praise God, they lived in a good time, didn't they? We may be the people that are going to catch it, you know. And, it's all about him, though. Now, Jude 1:14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saints. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. To execute judgment on all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Revelation 19:11, Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire. Almost reminds you of what John saw there in the first chapter, right? And when he fell as a dead man. See, when the Lord really shows up, we're going to fall as dead men. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in white, fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. See, it's all about him. A sharp sword. That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's all about him. God has given him a name which is above all names. Every knee's going to bow, things in heaven, things on the earth and under the earth. Now, this, I want to close with this part. It's not about us, it's about him. All things were created for him. And we were created for his pleasure. And we'll never find fullness or fulfillment except in him. And be for him. That's the only way. And these people are so deceived and misguided that think the Lord and everything the church ought to be about him having a better life. You know, that man wrote that book, Your Best Life Now. The one down in Houston. Wrote Your Best Life Now. No. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. It's not now. But anyway, it's not about us. Now we are to be his bride. Because it's all about him. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. This is Apostle Paul writing to that church. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Because it's all about him. The only reason we're here, and we were created, is for him. And the whole thing about the church and redemption is everything is that there would be a bride for him. Because it's all about him. And if we don't like that, I'm sorry, but there's nothing else. There is nothing else. It's all about him. Isaiah 54:5. For your maker is your husband. Now who created the heavens and the earth? Christ did. By his word he spoke them into existence. He's your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Hosea 2:19. And I will betroth you to me forever, yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Praise God. John 3:29. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, and John's talking, the best talking about himself, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Why, John? Because it's all about him. Not about you, John. Oh, that we could be like John. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore from now on know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now from now on know we him no more. That's such an important scripture. Because most of the church is only knowing Christ after the flesh. Their flesh. Their idea. Their opinion. Whatever they created him to be, you know. People make their own Christ. It's not Christ. It's the one they made. But we don't know him after the flesh. You say, well, how can I know him any other way? By the Holy Spirit revealing him in you. The Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and revealing them to us. Christ being formed in us. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. We know him no more. We don't know him in the flesh anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just bow your heads in prayer? I'm not asking. I don't do that thing. Raise your hands and all that.
But I just set your mind on Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a, if it's okay, I'm going to sing this chorus because it was on my heart when I got to the camp. And Sister Jane came up and asked me to sing, but it didn't work out for me to sing tonight. I believe the Lord probably wanted it for tonight. This came from a dream that the Lord gave me a long time ago. And in the dream, I was handed a microphone and I started singing this. And I woke up and I wrote it down. And it hasn't hit the charts or anything. It's not that, but Jesus, I want to love you more. Jesus, I want to love you more. I want to love you more than I ever have before. Jesus, I want to love you more. Jesus, I want to praise you more. Jesus, I want to praise you more. I want to praise you than I ever had before. Jesus, I want to praise you more. Jesus, I want to thank you more. Jesus, I want to thank you more. I want to thank you more than I ever had before. Jesus, I want to thank you more. Jesus, I want to serve you more. Jesus, I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more than I ever had before. Jesus, I want to serve you more. Jesus, you're coming back for me. Jesus, you're coming back for me. I know you're coming back because you said you would. Jesus, I know you're coming back. Stand with me. Sing this with me. Jesus, I want to love you more. It's all about Him. Jesus, I want to love you more. I want to love you more than I ever had before. I want to love you more. Jesus, I want to love you more. Jesus, I want to love you more. I want to love you more than I Jesus, I want to love you.
Jesus, I want to praise you more. Jesus, I want to praise you more. I want to praise you more than I ever have before. Jesus, I want to praise you more. Jesus, I want to thank your heart. Jesus, I want to thank you more. I want to thank you more than I ever had before. Jesus, I want to thank you more. All praise his name. Hallelujah. Let's just praise, let's just love him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You love him so, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we're united with you, praise God. We're one with you, Lord. Hallelujah. When this world's not standing anymore, Lord, we're going to be with you. Hallelujah. 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 You purchased us with your own blood. Hallelujah. It's all about you. You bought us for yourself, Lord, praise God. You bought us for your pleasure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad, Lord. Nothing else is worth it. Nothing else is worth it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Now, if you want prayer, if you'll come and stand across the front, God giving me strength, I'm going to come by and pray for you. Hallelujah. And just minister to you as the Holy Spirit leads. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you can come if you want to. But you come remembering this, it's all about him. It's all about him, praise God. But God does want us well. He wants us healthy. He wants us to have a right mind. Praise God. He wants us to be without fear and frustration. Praise God. Hallelujah. What man wants his wife all messed up?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.